In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I greet you with this second Sunday of the great and holy fast of Great Lent. We've completed now, as of today, 2 weeks, which is amazing because it feels like we just began. And the time is slipping through our fingers. So the church each Sunday sets before us a gospel reading and unique saints and commemorations to remind us not to waste this time. Last Sunday we celebrated the Sunday of Orthodoxy, the triumph of the truth over falsehood, of light over darkness, the triumph against the attacks of those who would destroy the spiritual hospital of the church and would spread lies and it would distort healing for people. As we proclaim boldly that the Orthodox Church is the original church, it's not proud, but it is the reality, and it's the hospital, and it can heal us. And we honor all those saints and holy fathers who upheld that with their life and their blood so we could have it. And this following week, the church gives us an incredible figure. And many people don't know enough about him. He's the icon in the middle. He's also in our church. It's hard to see him. Kind of see the top of his bald head here in the back. St. Gregory Palamas. An incredible saint. And I think about all the millions of saints, the church chose him to be the one remembered out of the few Sundays of Lent. Unbelievable. It just gives you a little idea of how powerful he is. We could say a lot of things about him, but his contributions are incredible. You can read his readings. All of his writings are in one volume now in English. By St. Tikhon Seminary, I believe, the complete works of St. Gregory Palamas, life-giving reading. We had to pick two things, and today I borrow heavily from a holy priest, Father Emmanuel, and his writings and his homilies. Two main things that he taught us that we're celebrating today. One, and I really want you to pay attention to this because many of us don't know the theology or the belief of the church. You know, we're very busy, we come to church, light a candle, do our thing, and we can't explain why Orthodoxy is different. This will explain it to you. That's why he's so special. First, God is totally inaccessible and unknowable in his essence. That is, even philosophers in the old days knew this, that God in his essence, there's a God and I'm not him, right? We kind of say that, right? There's God, the creator, and there's the creation. And they're different. And they'll never be the same, right? Unlike an LDS teaching and heretical teaching, which says they become one. Never believe, never the truth. There's a distinction. God in his essence is unknowable. We often make mistakes in theology. We say, well, you know what? You know what God is like? God's like me. That's exactly how the LDS faith went wrong, how some Protestants go wrong, because it's called anthropomorphizing. They think, well, what's God like? And an incredible ego, he must be just like me because it's all I know. He must have a body like me. He must be foolish and very proud and nonsense. The Old Testament's very clear in the New Testament. God the Father, right? He has no man has seen him at any time. He's beyond us. He's beyond all things. We know God the Father by who he's not. He doesn't have a body. He's not limited like we were. He's eternal unlike us. All those things. We know he's beyond us in his essence. Because he's God. So we can't say, well, why did God do that? I wouldn't do that. Lord have mercy. So we know that in his essence, he's unknowable. But you might hear that and say, well, then how can we ever know God then? This is a big issue for people. But he's known in his divine energies. So St. Gregory is known incredibly well for explaining this original Christian belief. It was always believed, but he expounded it against those who were attacking the church. And he said, in God's essence, no one can know him. But in his energies, in his interaction with the world, his power, his love, his wisdom, the church, grace, we can know him. And we can actually know him. Unlike in the Western tradition, and I have Catholic priest friends who say they don't believe this, but it's what they believe. And it's what's believed in the West. And it's a huge difference between Orthodoxy and Catholicism. Let me quickly explain. There was a big argument. This monk came after St. Gregory, Barlaam of Calabria. Southern Italy was full of Greek monks at this time. And they attacked him saying, you can't know God. You can't experience God himself. You can't do that. You can only reach God in your mind, and even that is limited. That's a very Western understanding. And even the grace of God is a creation. You can't know Him. Only know Him in your mind and contemplate Him. So let me explain quickly. There's God. This is very crude, but you have God. He creates this thing, bloop, this bubble of grace. It's blessed. It has. It's virtuous. It's lovely. It's life-giving. All these kind of things. And He sends that to man. Man receives it. Bloop. But you see the very important difference. Here's God, here's us, and this grace is created. It's not God Himself. There's no string. You see, it's a blessing, you see, but it is other than Him. So you see the difference? That means that there's no real communication, no real union with God and man. He sends blessings, He sends grace. There's always a separation, a chasm, if you will. St. Thomas Aquinas was clear about that. So we may look the same. We have priests, we have pictures of saints and things like that. There's a vast difference. St. Gregory, the pillar of Orthodoxy, the 1300s, explained this away. So it's a huge difference. And the difference is this. Either you can really experience Christ in His energies, and it's really Him, and you become one with God, or not. Gigantic difference. That's why it was a huge thing in the life of the church. That's the first thing. Second thing, he said knowledge of God or knowing God is not obtained by being smart. It's not by studying or reading lots of books, like in a Western way, like in contemplation, like in that Western understanding. No, God cannot be known that way. But by participation in life. What does that mean? By participation in divine life. Let's talk about those things. So the fathers say that he theologized. What does that mean? In the West, theologized means some person who thinks they're smart, read a bunch of books, and they talk. I'm a theologian. Not the Orthodox understanding. Right? He made known to us things from above. Theologos. A theos means God. Logos, a word. A theologian, a true one, gives a word about God. A Western theologian regurgitates what he read. An Orthodox theologian, of which there are not many, and it can be an old illiterate grandma, is a person who knows Christ through repentance, cleansing of the passions, and experiences Christ in their nous, in their heart, in their soul, and they know Him, and thus, because they're intimate with Him, they can give us a word about God. Totally different, you see? Totally different. That's who He was. That's what St. Gregory was making very clear. His essence, unknowable. His energies, he blesses us, sanctifies, gives us all things, Christ. So we know Christ. And why is this important? This is very, very important. Because at this time, and again, you may not think about this, but it's very important that you think about the theology of the church. There's kind of two prevailing beliefs in the history of the world about knowing God. So one is pantheism, right? And that means that God is everywhere. God, not that God fills all things. We believe that. Everywhere present and fills all things. So God fills us, the air, the lights, this. There's no place God is not. But that's different than saying, this candle is God. This candle is not God. God's grace, His presence permeates all things, but this candle is not God. This metal is not God. Very important distinction, believed by many pagans. But they had something right, which is that they sense that God must be present. Right? That's very, on the one hand. And then you have, on the other hand, this idea that God is so distant and you can never, ever, ever know Him. So you have this, you fall into either pantheism or God doesn't even act in the world and He's far. Right? Huge difference. And people struggle with this. And this is what's amazing about Orthodoxy. You might not know how beautiful it is. In the history of the entire world, of pagan religion, everything, all pagan religions, of all philosophies, of all Christian quote-unquote denominations, of which there are thousands, not a single one can answer this age-old question. Everything's God, or God's really distant. Not a single one can answer them. Only Holy Orthodoxy. How incredible is that? You might not think it's incredible, but I want you to think about that. That the church, as the body of Christ, understands who God is, because God Himself, Christ, it's His church. And He explains it to us in a powerful way. I think we take Orthodoxy for granted sometimes. St. Gregory incredibly shows how the faith balances those things. God is everywhere present. He fills all things. But in his essence, he's unknowable. But in his real energies, he loves us, communicates, talks to us, and gives us his very life. His biggest thing, how do you know God? That's a huge question. All of us, I want to know God. People in the West know what they do, and most of us Americans, I'll read books about God. I'm going to know God a lot. No, you can read tons of books about, you know, Michael Jordan or something like that. Read books about him, watch biographies. You can know everything about him, all of his stats, his favorite food, all that. But you don't know him like his wife knows him. You don't know him like his sons know him because they have a real relationship. You just read everything like a fanboy or fangirl, right? See the difference? Many people are just weird fanboys or girls of God. They read the Bible a lot. Protestants read the Bible, thank God, a lot. They memorize stuff, you know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, blah, blah, blah. You know, you memorize all these things, but they don't know Jesus. And in fact, they don't know it's even possible to know him that way. Everything in the mind. You know, the modern world says that we can approach God like anything else, like geography or like math. With our mind, we think this is everything because our hearts are so empty. And that muscle of our heart of knowing God is weak and atrophied. But you might say, well, how else can you know God? Father Justin, that's how I know stuff, is my brain. So how can I know stuff with my heart? I don't even know what that means. It doesn't mean feelings. And many of us don't know because we don't know our faith. Listen. So God, as we said, is inaccessible, unknowable, unreachable, incomprehensible in his essence. The Blessed Augustine says that he was totally other. Wow. That seems far. Totally other. So therefore, he can't be approached with the pea brain. Intellectually. No. But he can be known spiritually and experientially. In his debates at the time, St. Gregory, with those humanists, he taught this. To know God, we have to know him from the spiritual powers of the soul. And by means of the Holy Spirit that illumines us in baptism, and in receiving the Holy Spirit in chrismation and in the Eucharist and in repentance. That's how you come to know God. So we can know again about God from our senses, from the trees. We can see his beauty with our mind. You know, all things, the study, the stars, the moon, the mountains, all things speak of him. We read the scriptures, hopefully daily. We study the scriptures, the writings of the saints, the hymns of the church when the priests and the bishops teach. And we know God in his essence. It's totally different. We know God in his energies, very different than seeking him, reading him about him. Very important. But that's different than coming to know him. This knowledge we think of, I read the Bible, I read the lives of the saints, good. But it is like paltry. It's nothing compared to the experience of a direct experience of God. Most of us have not had that. And by that, I don't mean like thinking that we're great saints and seeing lights and visions and all that. That's often a sign of mental illness and conjuring things up. It's not that either. So what is it? It's this. Superior knowledge comes in this way. Ascetical practices, prayer, and quieting of the body and the mind. In Greek, there's a word, isikia. Isikia in Greek means quietness. Not just quiet and talking, but quieting down of the soul so we can know Christ. Reading books is easier, which is why we do that. So how do we know God in this way? Hopefully we all want to. How do we live the life of the church and not just have theoretical knowledge of God, but know him? Here's what St. Gregory and the church has always said. First, here's what's required to have a living experience of Christ and to know him. You must subdue your passions, your addictions. We're in Lent. Perfect. You have to cultivate the virtues that you know you lack. Perfect. Lent. Participate in the holy mysteries. Baptism, chrismation, constant confession, repentance, being married in the church, right? Fasting, prayer, almsgiving, all these things. We give to the poor. We make time for prayer, especially the Jesus prayer. We make time to pray with our families, quiet time alone with Christ. And we ascetically struggle with all of our might to invigorate the Holy Spirit in us. We purify our body first. The fathers call this catharsis, or purification, the first stage of the spiritual life. We purify our body, humble our body. That's step one. If you can't control your belly, you can't know God from the Holy Spirit, the Fathers say. As long as you're a glutton and you don't attack it, that's a block to experience from the living Christ. It's not about checking off boxes, you followed rules for God. That's not it at all. What it is you're destroying that obstacle of your flesh to the Spirit, which is light, and can know God, and you can experience Him. That's why you should fast. God doesn't care about keeping a rule. He wants you not to be addicted so your soul can communicate with Him. So we reach that first stage. We purify our body, our minds, and our hearts. And then we begin to do more. First the body, then our soul, and then the state of all the saints, which was theosis, or divinization, you might say. Christification. The saints had vision of Christ in the divine light. You might go, how is that possible? I never have that. That's because we haven't done what they did. But we can. And we need to. Hopefully when we hear this about St. Gregory and hear the theology of the church, we understand Christ's words a little more. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you want to see God, know Him? Purify your heart. And as long as we think, oh, I don't want to purify my heart, I don't want to change my sins, I'll just light candles, I'll do this, that, and the other. Like, that doesn't matter. If you want to see God, there's one path. Purify your heart. Purify your body and your soul. So brothers and sisters, our goal in Lent and our goal in life, like Father Paul said last night, is to subdue our passions. Lust, pride, anger, gluttony, drunkenness, all these other sins that we have, right? Right, the things we hear in confession, right? That means not looking at things you shouldn't look at. Not doing sexual sins. It means getting your tail out of bed and doing your prayers. It means keeping the fast and stopping eating when you could eat more. Right? Right? Not getting drunk. Not doing the drugs that's a temptation for you. Not taking those pain meds that's a struggle for you. Shutting your mouth when you want to attack your spouse. Being kind to your kids. Right? All these. And repenting for the things we don't do. We don't love the poor. We don't give. We don't care. This process, again, doesn't just go, now you're a good boy and good girl and Jesus loves you. That's nonsense. That's not inspiring at all. I talked to some guys who are Protestant and LDS, and I say, what's your goal as a Christian man? To be swell. To be like leave it to Beaver Dad. To be dutiful and nice guy. That's wholly uninspiring. What's inspiring is to be a saint, to be a warrior for Christ. That's why men love the Orthodox Church, women too, because they know there's a life and they can live it. The height of virtue isn't being a nice guy. Jesus wasn't always a nice guy. The saints were very humble and loving. They weren't always nice. That's cheap and it's fake often. So we keep the fast not to follow the rules and be a good boy or a good girl. We follow the fast so we can tear away that obstacle that's keeping that pilot between Christ and our hearts from knowing each other. It's awesome. Truly awesome. Our purpose. Subdue the passions. Pray. So few of us pray. I know. Forgive me. I know prayer is a struggle for me too. But nothing will happen. So you're fasting. You're trying. You're subduing it. The highway, the road between us and God's opening. The fast is opening it. But if you don't want to travel on it, who cares? The road's wide open. God, us, path wide open. You don't want to walk it because you're too lazy to pray. What's the big deal? Is God mad at you if you don't pray? No. Does God go, you're so good, you did your prayers, check mark. No. He invites you to life. He invites you to life and to know Him. And when that happens, you are so changed. Your whole life changes. And so few people, forgive me, do it. And when they do, they become like the saints. And that's our goal, Father Paul and I and all of us, to get to that place through prayers, almsgiving, reading the lives of the saints, putting your life around this church, confessing, having a spiritual father, by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, you can become like the saints. I want to end by telling you a few things about St. Gregory's life to give you an idea about this giant of a man. He came from a holy family, which is often the case. His father, who was very famous, was a government official. His father was tonsured a monk before his death when Gregory was 7 years old. Imagine that. Powerful, worldly powerful man, and in his life tonsured a monk when St. Gregory sees it at 7 years old. At the age of 20, he decided to become a monk, even though he was brilliant and could have had a great position in the government. His mother, listen to this, his mother, his two brothers, and his two sisters all followed him and became monastics. That's how amazing his life was, and the Christian church was, that you, when you experience God in prayer, it's the most beautiful thing, and everything other than that is paltry. And you would give your life as a monk. So many of us go, that's weird. Why would you go to a monastery? Then you couldn't, that wouldn't be fun. That wouldn't be fulfilling. That's because you haven't tasted the grace of God, and its sweetness is so much greater. By the way, I digress. This is very important in confession. Father Paul and I were talking last night. So many of you struggle, like we all do, with sins, with passions, with addictions, all kinds of things. Everyone has them. And they go, Father, I'm trying, but here's why it's not working. Please listen if you want to overcome the passions. Sins are very real and earthy and carnal. So like lust, anger, gluttony, all these things, they're not theoretical thoughts. They're right here. They're in your flesh. They're in your face. You touch them, they beat you up. You feel it. Lust can burn in your flesh. Anger can make you crazy. How do you defeat that? Do you think that some theoretical knowledge of God, like, I kind of believe God exists and He's good and stuff like that. Do you think this ethereal, distant, weak, kind of first step baby faith is going to compete with an earthy, carnal passion? Never. You'll lose every time, which is why you're losing. So what's the other option? Don't think that knowing God is just this weak kind of faith. There's two kinds of faith. And this is huge, brothers and sisters. Please, please listen to me. There's two kinds of faith. There's the faith that most people think is normal faith, which is, yeah, I kind of believe God exists. You know, if I had to bet, I guess I would bet that way. I don't really know Him. I don't really know Jesus, like the way Father Justin's talking about. I kind of hope it's the case. It sounds nice, but that's about it. And we go from times where, God, why are you so far away? Oh, I kind of feel good thoughts. Oh, God, like most people, right? Weak. And it's not true faith. What do you mean, Father? What's true faith? True faith is experience. Exactly what St. Gregory was talking about, which is the essence of Christianity, and it's been lost outside of Orthodoxy. If we stay in that place of theoretical, oh yeah, I kind of hope God exists, that's weak. That's like a man who wants to marry a woman, and from a distance she writes him a letter and says, I could love you. I could love you. We could have a beautiful relationship. And you keep it there, and you say, wow, she could love me. But you don't do a darn thing about it. You don't make a relationship. That's miserable. That's not going to save you from the prostitutes around you that are close to you when you have a dearly beloved who's far away that has no relationship with her. That idea isn't going to save you from the reality of the temptation, so to speak, in my analogy. Right? So what is the second faith? It's this knowledge of God. It comes to a systematic life of prayer. You're baptized, you're chrismated, whether as a child or now. You receive Holy Communion. You confess your sins often. Don't go to confession because the priest tells you to. Go because you want to get the junk out and you want to break the obstacle so you can have this experience of God and know Him deeply. You fast. You pray. You humble yourself. You uproot the passions. You pray morning and night. You see the Jesus prayer. This isn't for weirdo fundamentalists. This is for everyone. And you know what happens? If you start saying the Jesus prayer, you start doing all these things, you'll be praying. And God will come upon you in a way you can never imagine. And it won't be like a vision, it won't be a mentally ill vision of Justin, hi, I'm God. And it won't be like that. It'll be St. Elder Joseph the Hesychius shows this. Prophet Elias, it wasn't in the thunder, it wasn't in the rain, it was in that quiet, gentle breeze. Elder Joseph said, it's beyond St. Joseph the Hesychius, it's beyond vision, it's beyond words, it's a quietness, and the grace of God floods you. And you're different. And you don't, and it scares the heck out of you. And you go, oh my gosh, this is real. This isn't theoretical. God is real and He's here, and it's your life utterly changes at that moment. And then you don't believe because it's an idea. You know Him. You don't believe this beautiful damsel exists in a faraway country. You finally held her hand. And it's electric and it's beautiful. And it's and a relationship between a husband and a wife. I remember that first time when I was courting my wife, you know, and we kind of did it old school style, and which I'm thankful for. I remember that time we kind of get to know each other. I remember the first time we held hands, right? What happened in the situation? Right? Something flows through you. I'm not just talking otherwise, right? I'm not talking hormonally, right? I'm talking something deeper, like, this is going to be my soulmate I'm going to share my life with. And you can sense that. I'm telling you, the grace of God is so beyond that, it's unbelievable. Most of you haven't had that experience, so you struggle because of the passions, which by comparison, pornography, food, drink, it's like no current, so to speak. When you start to know God and His current is flowing in you, you choose it every time over the passions and the addictions. That's why you should pray and fast. That's why you should go to communion. That's why you should confess, have a spiritual father, go to the monastery, sacrifice some things, say the Jesus prayer. It will open a world you never imagined. And then guess what? Faith actually goes away. Yes, faith goes away. And it gives way to what? Knowledge. Not this knowledge. You know God. You experience Him. He's a friend to you. He becomes part of you. And then you never doubt again. You're not afraid of going to a prison camp for Him. You're not afraid of being martyred for Him. You're not afraid of when you get sick because you know He's in you and He loves you and His grace fills you. This is possible, brothers and sisters. This is the life of Christ. No wonder no one goes to Christian church anymore. This isn't preached anywhere. The average person gets this. They go, well, I guess Joe Schmo in church must have more faith than me. Why didn't God give me that faith? That's not fair. If that's the way the grace worked and faith worked, that would not be fair. Why would it be fair for God to give me more faith than you? It's not fair. But it's not true. God gives incredible grace. But this is the way to know Him. It's been lost in the West. And it's preserved in the church. And it's an invitation. Do you want to know Him? Yes, you do? Okay. Are you willing to do the work? I hope you are. Because if you are willing to pray, fast, children can experience this grace of God. So many people become atheists and don't believe. Not because God isn't real, brothers and sisters. Because they're too lazy to do the effort. Too many marriages fail because you know why? Not because the two couldn't be one and be so deeply united. Because they're too lazy and egotistical and proud to even try. And they might not even think it's possible. The church tells you today, it is possible to know God. It is possible to be a saint. It is possible to have a faith that destroys faith and you never doubt again. So beautiful. We say in the sanctified liturgy, if you listen during the week, give us that, sanctify us with the sanctification which cannot be taken away. Have you heard that line? What do you mean, Father Justin? We don't believe once saved, always saved. No. But when this experience happens to you, brothers and sisters, through repentance, and it might not happen, it's not going to happen in a week, or in 2 weeks, or in a month. It takes a lifetime of repentance, seeking Him, having a spiritual father, taking these things seriously. But when you know Him, He sanctifies you with a sanctification which cannot be taken away. Even when you get weak. Even the saints got weak. Even great elders and monks and nuns, they get weak, but it's only so weak. They fall off the wagon only so much because once you've experienced God, you know He's there. It's just a matter of getting right back on that horse and going. But until you know Him, why get back on? Why bother? I do all this stuff, nothing happens. How sad. How sad that you're fasting and you're coming to church and you're giving to the poor and you're tithing, all these things would you think only serve just to check a box list of boxes off? No. The church invites you to eternity. You can taste eternity. You're going to receive communion today, and that can totally go inside you and work in every member of you and work towards that unity. Or guess what? It can do jack squat. Because you haven't cleared the highway to your heart. God knocks. It's up to us to open. You're baptized. You're chrismated. All this grace, Holy Communion, God's life coming into you. But you've closed the door. You've chosen lust, gluttony, hatred, laziness, this world over it. We say, no, I'm not going to choose anymore. How? You repent. You pull these things out. And the obstacle across the road of our salvation is lifted, and the grace of God is the channel to flow. And then the words of St. John's Gospel become real. When I read the Gospel the first time, it was so weird to me. Jesus says, for believers who believe in me, rivers of living water will flow from your inward parts, from your belly. What the heck does that mean? I visited lots of churches. I've never seen rivers of living water. What's he talking about? And then I walked into the Orthodox Church, and I read the lives of the saints and went, wow, rivers of living water. Their faith, their miracles, incredible. But I can't do that. And that's precisely the lie. And that's precisely the great hope. You can. I can. He was in the 1300s. There's saints right now you don't even know about. There are living saints in this community you don't even know about. It's possible, not just in monasteries, not 1,000 years, 2,000 years ago. You and I, with families and friends and each other now, we can become like the saints. How? Live the life of the church. Live the life of Lent. Don't stop up your ears when Father Paul and I preach. Don't be offended. Take it to heart. If all of us go to confession regularly, if all of us fast, if you all say the Jesus Prayer, this is not a matter of it's either you have talent or you don't. None of us have it naturally. It's a matter of do you want to do it? And if you decide for God's sake, I want to become a holy person, I want to repent, that every single one of us, illiterate, PhD, homeless, doctor, plumber, lawyer, cleaner, priest, each of us can experience God. And we can know Him, and our faith can be so strong, and we can be like these saints and bring other people into the life of the church. Brothers and sisters, I hope this is helpful to you today. I know it was long, I know it was a lot, but I hope above all you leave here saying, I want to change, and God can be one with me. My whole life can be different. All your depression will go away. All of it. All your sadness, all your anxiety, everything will go away if you live the life of the church. There's nothing the grace of God can't heal. I don't know about you, but that's so darn inspiring to me. And it breaks my heart that I don't do it more, but I'm inspired. From this moment, St. Herman said, from this day, from this hour, from this moment, strive to love Christ with all your being, above all. And I'm inspired today by you and by St. Gregory. Never stop saying the Jesus Prayer. Never stop living for Him. Make prayer and repentance your life, and then a whole new life of the gospel would open up to us. May we not just hear about it, may it become your experience and your life. The prayers of the Mother of God and of all the saints, and especially St. Gregory, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.